מועדים לשמחה. Today's daf in Masechet Ketuvot is daf at Sadivav, and we're holding right at the beginning of the new perek Amoni Nizonis, the 11th perek, introduced by our very own one and only Sir Richard. So we're moving on now to the next phase of our ketuva issue. So we've spoken about the Benin Dichrin problems, we've spoken about the collection, we've spoken about Balchov, we've spoken about what the Shibunim are Chalon, which Shibunim comes first, and so on and so forth. One of the interesting things that we saw previously was that although for a ketuva, all of the nechasim are mishu'ubadim, and therefore, if they're sold, then she's able to go after the people who bought it because she has a lien. When it comes to the mizonot, which is part of what is promised for the almana, remember that he writes to her, so long as kol yemei miger amunatech, as long as you stay in my home, then you are going to be given your mizonot. Now, you will recall that is only the Lashon of the Bnei HaGalil. But the Bnei Yehuda wrote a different Lashon, according to which, when the Yitomim desire to give you your ketuvah, at that point you will no longer be getting your mizonot. Achi yirtzu ha-yorshim b'tein lach ketuvatech, which was a completely different approach. So our Mishnah immediately raises the question of, is it giving an absolute? And that's the thing that the Gemara is going to be discussing. But one of the big differences is that when it comes to mizonot, almana cannot go after nechasim mishu'ubadim. And so this is actually the reason that we bring it in this order, is because the yamana nizonet raises new issues about two different kind of things that she's going after. If she's going after the ksuva, then she can collect from nechasim mishubadim. If she's going after mizonot to do her, then she cannot collect from nechasim mishubadim. And yet, as we're going to see in the Mishnah coming up, is she has a right to sell on her own in Besdin, and that means that we have to start being very careful about what is she selling for, and therefore now is the time, as a direct continuation of talking about the difference between tiruf from nechasim that are mishu'ubadim, that we've been talking until now with the Balchov and with the Almona, and the different questions of whether we're more concerned for Chayin or whether we're more concerned for the Tikkun Olam. Now we get into a question of the Almona herself. So the first thing that it says over here is just the simple halakha that we know is part of the Ksufa, that it says that an Almona continues to eat, and we had two girsaot, one ka'anshe ha-galil, and in Yehuda, it's im rotzua yorshim v'temach tuvatech ad yirtzua yorshim. So long as she is nizonet, maybe that's what it means, or it may be an absolute, an almana is nizonet, and her ma'aseh yadayim go to her. In the same way that the mizonot of the husband was in exchange for the work that she does. However, they are not responsible to bury her because they don't inherit her. We're talking over here about the nechsei yatomim of her husband. And since, in this case, obviously the husband died first because she's a widow, that means that her ketuvah was never inherited by the husband. And the kvura, remember, we learned earlier, is in exchange for the fact that he got, because she died first, he got the ketuvah. So he takes that ketuvah and pays for her funeral. But in this case, she has to pay for her own funeral, so to speak. So her own yarshim, her own children, are the one that inherit her ketuvah. They will pay for the kvura. Yorshei ketuvata, they are the one that are chayavim bekvurata. But the children of her husband, they are the ones that are going to be giving her the mizonot. Iboilu. How are we to read our Mishnah? Nizonet tnan or hanizonet tnan? if the Mishnah is telling us an absolute, an almana is nizonet. Okay, so then that would be, if you're going to tell me nizonet, then it's going like the Anshei HaGalil, that every ketuvah includes this clause that an almana definitely gets to be given her parnasah for mizonot, for food, out of the estate. Whether the children want to give her a ketuvah or not, it's not up to them. And that would mean nizonet. That would be like the Galil, which would mean lo sagi de lo yavila. There's no way to get out of giving her mizonot. Or perhaps the meaning of the Mishnah is almana hanizonet minitzei yatomim. In the event that an almana is being supported by the yatomim, which means it doesn't necessarily have to be that way because they could always pay her ksuva and then she wouldn't be supported by the Tomim, then that would be like Anshei Yehuda. And according to this, Anshei Yehuda, Ibohu lo yavila. If they want to pay her the ksuva instead, they do not have to give her her ketuva. Now, Rashi understands that to mean that Hani Zonet Nan implies that so long as an almana is being actually provided for from the Nichsa Yatomi, according to the Anshei Yehuda, so then Maaseh Yadeh Shelahem. Tosfos shows in many ways that this doesn't really fit with what the Gemara is trying to say. And that, in fact, the meaning of the Mishnah is that if it says Hanizonetnan, so then the Nafgamina would be that according to Anshei Yehuda, you would think that since if it's telling me Anshei Yehuda it don't have to give, then I would have thought that they wouldn't get Maaseh Yadayim ever, because since at any time they can cut her off, we don't have the whole concept of transferring the Maaseh Yadayim. Therefore, it's coming to say, in the event, even Aliba Anshei Yehuda, the Kiddush is that nonetheless Maaseh Yadayim are Shalah. Says the Gemara, okay, we'll bring you a proof on how to read the Mishnah. Nizonet or Hanizonet? Because Omer Abizera Omer Shmuel was explaining our Mishnah, and he said, Mitziat almana la'atzma. So if she finds anything, it does not go to the children, even though if a woman who's married and her husband is alive finds something, wins the lottery and so on, it does go to her husband. In the case of an almana, whatever she finds in any lottery that she wins, she gets to keep herself. So now I ask you, if you're going to tell me that this is going Aliba the Bnei Yehuda, and it's saying a woman who is being supported, so that means it doesn't have to be that way, they could have chosen not to support her and paid her ktuva instead. So then it makes sense to say that when Shmuel says she will not get the Mitziyah, he could be talking about a case where the Yatomim decided not to be Mefardes her, and instead they're going to give her her ketuvah. But if you're going to tell me that this Mishnah is always Nizonet, so then why is the woman, when it comes to the Mitziyah, not the same to the Yatomim as she would be to her husband? Just like when the Baal supports her, he gets the Mitziyah that she finds, and if she wins the lottery, he gets that. Then why is it any different? So it seems that we're taking for granted that Shmuel says they don't get to keep it. That means that he's clearly reading that in the event that she is Nizonet, then she gets the Maaseh, they get the Maaseh down. So the Gemara, absolutely not. Liola Meimalach Nizonet tonight. Makes perfectly good sense to say every almana has to be supported, and it's not going like the Bnei Yehuda. But that has nothing to do with winning the lottery. Because remember, the exchange for support in exchange for her income, that makes sense. And that was a quid pro quo. So that goes, in this case, to the Yatomim. And they are the ones who are giving her the same thing that the Baal was going to give her. They're supporting her. But the Mitziyah wasn't given as a quid pro quo. Do you remember why we gave the Mitziyah to the Baal? We gave it to the Baal because we wanted to avoid resentment. Because the Baal, remember, is meant to be encouraged to give all of these various things to the Baal. So we wanted to make sure there was no Eva. So Taima Mayom Rabbanu Mitziat Isha L'Baala, because we wanted that there should be no problems in the relationship, and we want to encourage him to support her with the Yad Rechava. Masha'in Kain, these Yitomim, they don't have any choice in the matter. They do not have the right to stop supporting her anyway. In the case of the husband over there, we want to make sure that there won't be Eva. But over when it comes over here to the Yitomim, we do not worry about the question of the relationship, and there's no way that they can cut out the support because it's a legal duty and it can be gone to Besdin and enforced. So who cares? We never made the takana that they're going to get the mitzia. But as far as the quid pro quo is concerned, the actual support, that's a quid pro quo that goes to the husband. And in this case, it goes to the Yitomim. Rav Yossi Bar Chanina, when you're talking about her work doesn't only mean her income, remember. Her work is the various things that she does in the house. And therefore, kol malachot she'isha osah le'ba'ala, amana osah le'yorshim. So all of the various things that we had in the Mishnah earlier, the seven things that she has to do, the cooking and the washing and the baking and the spinning and so on, all of those things she does also for the heirs of her husband. But of course, the intimate things like mixing his wine or making the bed or washing his face and his hands and his feet, obviously it's inappropriate that she should be doing those things because those are intimate things and they're done only for her husband. Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, kol malachot she'ha'eved oseh l'rabo, talmid oseh l'rabo. Anything, once we're on this halacha, of what type of things are valid in terms of shimush. So she's mishamish her husband in this way. And we said that the things that are not appropriate in this particular context are not included in shimush. So over here, even though she would be washing his hands and his feet and so on, she doesn't do that for the Yitomim. But the same thing is true in determining what the nature of shimush is in terms of what's appropriate, because we don't want a Talmud to look like a servant. And if he's going to be doing the kind of low-class things that an Eved does, then it's inappropriate for him to be doing that for his Rav. So Amar Rav Yehoshua ben Levi, kol malachot she'ha'eved oseh l'rabo, talmid oseh l'rabo, chutz mi'atarat mino, except for taking off his shoes for him, that's inappropriate because that's something that is done by an Eved. We certainly don't want a Talmud to be mistaken for an Eved or Marava, but that's only if they don't know him. People know that he's a Talmud, so then whatever he does is appropriate. Om Ravashi, even in a Makom She'in Makirinoto, it was not the norm for Avodim to wear tefillin, even though we saw, as Tosus points out, that the only thing that proves that someone isn't an Eved or that was Meshukra was the fact that he puts on tefillin in front of his Odin, that it is Mashma, that he does normally would wear tefillin, but it doesn't mean that he wears tefillin all the time. He would put on tefillin to daven, let's say, right? But over here, if we know that the Talmud wears tefillin all the time, so that even if people don't know him personally in his relationship to the Rav, still the very fact is monach tefillin, less than but nobody will make the mistake of thinking that he is an Eved. Om Rebbe Barava, Om Rebbe Yochanan, kol hamunea talmidu milashamsho. If somebody stops his Talmud from doing these type of things for him, ki ilu munea mimenu chesed, shenemar lamas mereyehu chesed. Now there's two different ways essentially to understand that. And because of that, there's even a nafkamina in terms of the halacha over here. So the word lamas, remember, it's to sort of melt away. So you keep yourself away from the thing. So then we would read the pasuk, lamas mereyehu, then lamas chesed. So if you got rid of the one who is Yorea in learning together, so then you're also keeping him away from Chesed. Fine. So it's as if we said Lamas twice. Lamas Mereu, Lamas Chesed. But there's also a possibility, as Rashi points out, that the words right before this is V'tushiya nitcha mimeni. So Eov was talking about the fact that he doesn't have the Keach HaTera, which is called Tushiya. The Tera is called Tushiya. So then the idea over here would be the Godol Shimush or Yoter Milibuno. Some of the Mefarshim explain, it's not Be'echor, but some of the Mefarshim explain that this is moving from the Shimush of physical Shimush to the Shimush, which we use the word Shimush in terms of learning from him how to think about a sugya, is called Shimush. So that would mean kol monea is monea from him the Tera, which is Tushiya Nitcha Mimenu. I don't know that that's, like, you know, 100% justified, because either way, it would make sense. And the whole sugya is brought over here specifically because of the physicality of the acts in the case of the almana to the yarshim, and in the case of the taking off the shoes and so on. So it's a little bit difficult to believe that we switched to the other meaning of shimush, but it's possible. Omar Rabbi Elazar, almanash tafsa metaltalim b'mizonotea, masha tafsa, tafsa. We have an interesting halach. We know that originally, again, this is before the Takanat HaGeonim, but originally the chiyuvim are all chiyuvim on karka. The difference between mizaynes of an almana and a ksuva is that the ksuva is on karka with a shiba that enables tiruf milakuchot, and the almana can sell karka, but she can't go after someone who bought the karka. So here it says, if in fact she went after mitaltalin, so then she can keep it if she took it. There's a lot of discussion over here is whether this is dafka in a case where there were properties that were actually mechayev him. And she, instead, she was tefes mitaltalin. But if bichlal, there was no property that there was a chiyev, that he was going to have to support her, maybe over there she can't be tofeset. Those are some of the issues that are discussed. Tanya amyachi, amana shetafsa metaltalin bebizonotea, ma shetafsa, tafsa. V'chem kiyata Rav Dimi. So when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said, I can tell you that there was a maisa, bekalatosh Rabbi Shabtai, and she was the daughter-in-law of Rabbi Shabtai, and she was tofeset a diski amaleya ma'ot. A diski is like a leather attaché case. So this was like an attaché case that was full of cash, and she grabbed it, and because she wanted to make sure that she would have mezonos. And the chachomim lo haya koch b'yad ha-chachomim lo hotzi miyada. They couldn't figure out on what basis the tfisa would not be a tfisa. Well, Meravina, let me just make sure that we understand what we're talking about over here. This is only true for mezonos, but if she tries to collect this for her ksuva, then mafkina mina. Because, look, she basically, if she's kept collecting from mizaynes, she cannot go after mishu'ubadim. So in that case, we're mechazik her for tfisa. Mashenkin the ksuva, if she's not able to be tefes metaltalin, she can go after anything that her husband had sold. So memela, an amana for a ksuva, is in a good position. Mashenkin, an amana for mizaynes, is in a tough position. Not to mention the fact that the mezonos is something that we're going to see is collected from time to time, as opposed to the ksuva. And there, because of the fact that it's a one-time issue, okay, so let her go to court and collect it properly. Mashenkin over here, to have to go to court every time she's hungry is obviously not a viable situation. And every single time that she has to collect, so it's a different situation. Tainas Ravina. I don't understand. What's the difference? I mean, Maishna Lektuva. I don't understand why, for Lektuva, we take it away from her. Why? Because at the time of the Gemara, the entire Shibud was only on Mekakoi, Velo Metaltali. So why are we making this arbitrary distinction? Now, when it comes to Mizonot, I mean, she only really has a right to collect from Karka and not from a Tatalim. So why do we allow her to keep the Metatalim that she was Tofeset, and we don't allow the Alman who's collecting Ksuva to keep what she's Tofeset? Ella, I would say that Limizone, if you're telling me my Tofeset, Tofeset, and I believe that that's true, Achinami Liktuvata, it should be the same thing when it comes to the Ksuva, because I understand that there's differences, but those differences are not sufficient to justify the nafkamina la'alocha. The truth is that Rava said exactly the same thing, that if an amon is tofeset, not only for her mezonos, but for her ksuva, she gets to keep that as well. If this almana never went to court, 2 years passed by, 3 years passed by, at that point, we have to assume that she was mochelet, not for the future, but for the past, for sure. Now, that doesn't apply if she went around borrowing money, because that's always with the understanding that it's going to be repaid. And what we're talking about over here is an almana specifically, is a wasika. She has to go to court, and her husband obviously cannot support her. But I didn't say, what does two or three mean? Two or three doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you're telling me that she clearly was mochelet after 2 years, so then when does 3 years ever figure? Makes no sense to say 2 or 3 years. We're not talking about a loose concept over here. We're talking about halacha. So just tell me how much time passes before we can say, well, if she didn't go to court until now, she obviously doesn't intend to collect that. The answer is the Gemara. It's not a problem. If even after 2 years, certainly after three, lo kasha. The case of the 2 years is talking about a woman who is poor and has no alternative. She would have to go to court. And if she doesn't, then she's mochelet. If she can afford to wait, so she's kanba ashira, so then we would only consider there to be a vitur and a mechila after 3 years. Or another pshat. It could be, it depends on the personality of the woman. For a woman who is prutsa, she's the type of woman who goes out and she will deal with offices, government offices, go to court. Okay, so fine. Why didn't she go to court? But at Snua, I mean, she's very hesitant to go to court. She doesn't want to expose herself. So because of that, it takes a lot more pressure before she would go to court. And for her, only after 3 years would we say that she was mochelet. On my Rava, we're talking about over a year, only about what she already had the right to take. She's already, years have passed. She wasn't tova'at for those years. So she was mochelet on those years. It doesn't mean that she no longer has the right to be sonot. La'ba, yeshla. But what's coming in the future, she didn't obviously mochelet her overall right to mizonos. So now I'd like to understand who is considered to be actually the one that has to prove that something was or wasn't paid. How about if the atomim say, we gave her money? We gave her money at the beginning of the year, and there was enough there for her to have what to eat. That's how Rashi learns it. And she says, I never got it. So, Almila Havira Ayam. So, this is how Tosfos Rashi understands the circuit. The reason that this is a problem is because, remember, Rabbi Yochanan, as we spoke about before, Rabbi Yochanan is the one who says, Hato'in Achar Ma'aseh Beitin, which was one of Gavi's notes, that Hato'in Achar Ma'aseh Beitin Lo Amar Klon. Once something is established by a Beis Din as a standard, you cannot say, I took care of it. You have to prove that you took care of it. And so therefore, they would certainly not be believed to say, we took care of it. Who said you took care of it? So that why would he be asking such a thing? So basically what we're talking about over here, according to the other Rishonim, is not that we're talking about upfront. We're talking about where she is claiming that she was never given money for last year and that she hasn't said anything, assuming that they were going to pay up, which is similar to the sugya that we just had now, the copy of the question of Mephila. So over here, since she didn't say anything the whole year, something looks strange. Why didn't she ask? Because of that, I understand. It's certainly not a Mephila. We just said that takes 2 or 3 years, says Rabbi Yochanan. But at what point would she have to actually prove it? And up until what point do we consider it to be a Toyin Achamais Bezdin? So that's how the other Rishonim learned. The question that I have, says Rabbi Yochanan, is as follows. When we talk about the estate, is that estate considered to belong to the Atomim, and now the Almana is essentially trying to take things away from the Atomim? Or is the idea of a ketuvah that the Nichzer actually becheskat Almana, the Almana is the one who is considered to be in possession, because this is the Maisa Besdin was Mechayev. So that's a given, that she's got to be given her Mizonot. And therefore, if that's the way we look at it, then the Yatomim would always have to bring a raya that they paid. And we would not, in other words, the question is, who's the Motzi? Who's Motzi Mechavera Olav Araya? Is she considered to be Murzeket, or are they considered to be Murzekim? Tashma? Yitoni Levi, Almana, Kozman Shaloni Seid, Alayatomim Lahaviraya. As long as this Almana hasn't gotten married, and at that point, of course, they don't have to provide for her. So then the Yitomim have to bring the proof that she already was paid for the Mizonis that she had then. Once she actually gets married, so then she is the one that has to bring the proof, because now that she's being supported by her marriage, so then there's no longer a shibud against the nichse habal from the zaynas. Once there's no shibud, so okay, now we have a motzi merchavel of araya. She's trying to be motzi from them on what was from before. Then she would have to, clearly she's not in possession anymore. So therefore we see that that's essentially what Levi is saying. Up until the time that she's no longer a holder of a lien against it, up until that point, she's considered to actually be Murzeket. And only from the point that she loses it are they considered to be Murzekim. Omer Rav Shimi bar Ashi, actually, you can't really bring a raya one way or the other, because it's clearly a machlokes tanoim, whether she's considered to be a Murzeket or whether the Yatomim are the Murzekim. Because what we find in the Machlokes Tanoim is like this. We're going to see later on that the Mishnah says that an Almana can sell without going to Beis Din, and that she can sell either for her Mizonot or for her Ketuvah. So now, here we're talking about an Almana, and she sold a little bit for Mizonot, a little bit for the Ketuvah. So what is the din when she is mocheret? So Reb Shimi bar Ashi says, and here we find the machlokas like this. Reb Yehuda says that when she sells something, she has to put into the contract what it was sold for. So let's say she sells a piece of property and she writes in the shtar of the mechira, Elule bizonot macharti. I sold this property in order to have mizonot. If she was selling for the ketuvah, then she has to write in the actual shtar mechira, she has to write elu liktuva macharti, divrei Reb Yehuda, because he holds that it's essential that she says what it's for. Now, the Gemara is going to ask in a moment what his basis is, but we'll see that that becomes the basis of Reb Shimi bar Ashi's svora that it's a machlokes tanaim. Reb Yosi Aimer, no, she can just sell. And actually, if she just sells without defining what it is that she's selling, then she's in a much better legal position. V'chein kolcha yafeh. And the Gemara is going to explain what we mean by all of this. Now, I say, says Rav Shimi Maharash, it's clear to me that the machlokas is as follows. My lav bo kamiflagim. The machlokas over here between Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi is that according to Rav Yehuda, who says that boila farushin, she absolutely must write down in the actual contract what it was for. He must hold that these nechasim are all considered to be the cheskas yitomim, as Rabbi Yochanan made one side of his question. And since it's the nirse yitomim, then the almana is going to have to be able to bring the proof about whether she was given the mezonos. So therefore, if the yitomim taina, what do you mean this woman has been selling everything over here for a ksuva? And the ksuva was paid off. And if the ksuva was paid off, then she's not allowed, she has no basis to collect for the mezonos. So what could she say? She can't say anything. Because even if she says, oh, really now? So then that means that I didn't get any mezonot. Because you're saying everything that I sold for the ksuva. What are you talking about, lady? We've been paying you cash for your mezonos the whole time. So what are you going to do now? Because now that we can tell you that the property was sold and that, I don't know, you obviously sold it for the ksuva because we've been paying you all along for the mezonos. So then there would be no way for her to be able to get that money out of that, which obviously means that they are considered to be muhzak in all of the estate. Therefore, she's got to make it very clear that what it was that was sold for the ketuvah was sold for ketuvah. What it was that was sold for mizonot was sold for mizonot. And that way, if she at least can show that, look, some of this was definitely sold for mizonot, so then I can at least get my ketuvah, right? Okay, so because of that, I better, if I'm smart, write down what it was that I sold for. So once she's able to show that some of these sales were for mizonot, so basically we would understand that if she doesn't say it, then it was for the ksuva. So therefore, what's she going to do? Either she's going to define it or she's going to leave it open. So it makes more sense as Rav Yehuda to define it, because that way they're not going to be able to come at her and claim that they were giving her metatalin and that she already collected her ksuva. Why? Because they are the ones that are muhzak. Mashenken Rav Yossi says, no, she's in a much better position if she doesn't say anything. Why? Because Rav Yossi holds nirsei becheskas almona kaima, the alayatomim lahaviraya. Since she's the one that's considered to be muhzaked, so what are they going to do? They're going to claim, she sold all of that property, so then she obviously got her ksuva. They have to prove that. If she's muhzaked, they can't just say arbitrarily, she sold the ksuva and we've been giving her money for mizonot. So what would be her problem? She doesn't have to prove anything. That's first of all. Furthermore, it's even better, as Rav Yossi says, she is in a better legal position if she doesn't say anything. The reason is because essentially mizonos can only be collected from B'nai Chorin and not from Mishu'ubadim. But the ksuva, she would be able to collect even from property that had been sold by her husband. So therefore, she would be in bad shape. Let's say that there's not enough to continue to pay her. She wants to be able to get mizonos. She wants to go and to collect from Lekuches. She can't, because you cannot collect mizonos from Mishu'ubadim. But if she doesn't explain what it was that she sold the other property, so then she could claim that everything that she sold before was for mezonos. And now I'm going after Lekuchot only for my ketuva. So because of this, she would be in much better shape if she actually leaves it open. Because in this way, she's able to go ahead and collect from the Lekuchot. What she could do is she can have Edim in cases where she was selling for one or the other. They could be made, but she can present the Edom as she wishes. So if she's trying to go after her ksuv, even though it's going to lose her the mizonot, then it would be worthwhile for her to collect from the mishubadim. So then she doesn't bring the Edom that this was for the ksuv. And that way she's always in a better position. So he obviously holds that aliyatomim lahaviraya, because of that, they're the ones that are going to have to go ahead and prove it. There's your answer. So you see that it's gufa amachokas. Says the Gemara, I don't see why. Why does that follow? Me might. I can tell you it's a completely different issue. That's the machlokas between Rebbe and Rebbe Yossi. Maybe. It could well be that she's considered to be in possession. Maybe Rebbe Yehuda was not telling her what it is that she has to do. Maybe Rebbe Yehuda was just telling her a completely different thing. Listen, even though they're going to have to bring a raya, and you're not going to lose anything by their claiming that you've already collected your ksuva, because it's not going to help them. But, you know, if you're not selling it for mizonot, and people are going to think you're selling it for mizonot, they are going to spread the word that, man, this woman is a hell of a high maintenance. You know how much property she's been selling? God only knows what she eats. Oh, hell, don't marry her. So then she's never going to be able to get remarried. And therefore, Rebuta says, listen, do yourself a favor. But he's not talking about her legal responsibility. He's just telling her a good etza. I know you think that's crazy. I'm going to prove to you that that's absolutely the pshat. Because if you don't hold that that's the pshat, so then what was Rabbi Yochanan's question? I mean, Rabbi Yochanan could have learned from the Mishnah the answer to his question. Okay? Because Elote Machi, if you're not willing to accept the fact that it could be an Eitzah Teva that she should specify. So Rabbi Yochanan, fine. Rabbi Yochanan didn't know the Braita, and not everybody knows every Braita. But Rabbi Yochanan certainly knew the Mishnah. And our Mishnah says, Tifshe Levi Masnisen, our Mishnah says, Beferish, that the halacha is that if she's Mocheret L'mizonot, Shelo Bebeitin, and she has the right, it says Beferish in the Mishnah that's coming up, she has the right that Kotevet Elu L'mizonot Mocherti. So I don't understand. Why would she have to write the mizonot machati? That's what Rabbi Yehuda says, right? I mean, he doesn't have to know about that machlokas, but basically, if you are ready to bring a raya from Rabbi Yehuda that it's machlokas tanoi, and that he definitely holds that the yisomim are the ones that are considered to be muhzakim, so then the Mishnah is essentially saying that. So what's Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yochanan didn't know the Mishnah, so therefore it's clear that Rabbi Yochanan held you can't bring a raya from the Mishnah. Why not? The Mishnah says, Beferish, she writes. Why would she have to write? Because she doesn't want people to say that she's a fat slob. That's why. And therefore, it's only an Eitzah Tova, Kamash Malan. So you see that clearly we can read the Mishnah as meaning nothing other than Eitzah Tova. So if that's the case, so then Rebbe Yehuda and the Braisa could also very well be Eitzah Tova, Kamash Malan. Or that's one approach that everybody holds, that it's Becheskas the Almana. We could say also that the machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda and Rebbe Yossi is going in the other direction, that everybody is made that it's in the cheskas ayisaymi. Okay, how? So then you'll say, so why does Rebbe Yossi say that she's better off if she doesn't say? That's because he was basically going like the sheet of Abaye Kashisha, the Omar Abaye Kashisha. You know, I'll tell you what Rebbe Yossi is really trying to say over here. Marshal de Rebbe Yossi, the Ma'adavadena, you want to understand his rationale? It's very simple. Imagine a case where a shchiv mira, so somebody is dying, and he says, give 200 shekel to so-and-so. Now, it's not clear that this is the correct girsa, because many hold that if he specified, give 200 shekel to so-and-so, to whom I owe money, so then he's obviously saying, give 200 shekel not to pay back so-and-so to whom I owe money. That's separate, but I want to give him a gift. So the question over here is, according to the other Girsa, it's Tnu Matayim Zuz Leploni, and we know that that is Bal Chovo. Fine, not Bal Chovo. The guy didn't say those words. Okay, but that's a question that is a Machlokas. Anyway, What would be the din in that case? So if the guy who's owed the money wants to take that as his chov, he can accept it as his chov. But if he wants to take it as a gift, so then he could take it as a gift. It's basically up to him. The difference would be that if he accepted it as a gift, so then he would be able to go and collect from the kuchas, because as far as his debt is concerned, he has a right, he has a sheba. So the same thing is true over here. So if he accepted as a matana, so isn't he better off? Lo kach yafe kocho, and therefore he'd be allowed to collect from Mishu Badim. If he accepts it as a chov, then he's coming along now and he's saying, all right, I'm going to take the 200. So if he says I'm taking it because he owes me the 200, so we'll worry about the matana later. If there's not going to be any property for him to take the matana from except Mishu Badim, you can never collect the matana from the Chasam Mishu Badim, obviously. So it's better to pursue a policy of, don't say what it is. And therefore, the same thing would be true over here. Why? Because if there are no free properties, free and clear properties, and all of the property was actually sold, so she's in the same position as this guy who would accept the 200 in payment for his debt. Because if she specifies, I sold it for the ksuva, so then she's never going to be able to get her mezainas out of Mishu Badim. But if she doesn't say what it's all about, then she can claim, I sold everything for my mezonos, in which case I can come along and collect my ksuva from the whole ksuva. I'd be able to collect from the nechasim Mishu Badim. And therefore, it makes sense that in a case where it's nothing to do with who is in possession, you said it was all to Nogeva Rabbi Yochanan's question. Nothing to do with Rabbi Yochanan's question. We're not talking over here. We're talking about that we know that nothing was paid. All that he's saying is that she's better off that klapi of her ability to collect her ksuva later on. So she's better off. That's all that he was saying. And therefore, you can't bring a riot to Rabbi Yochanan one way or the other. And there's no reason for us to say the machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda has to do with who is in possession. Either way, we have perfectly logical machlokas between them.